anyway, we're right here in the night session. Just had an amazing first step of this night. We've been celebrating Jesus and nobody but him for what he's done. And so here's the question again, and we asked it last week, but wondering if there's any university and college students from the Midwest, this great Midwest of our nation. We know there are people here from farther away than that, but any people from the great Midwest here who love the Son of God and want their lives to count for his fame in all the earth? That's the question. And 33 seconds of our precious podcast airtime right there. That's one of the loudest things I've ever heard. Where has that been all weekend long? Man. All right, we're going to sign off now. And yeah, we'll be back to the podcast later. We're going to stop now because this is crazy.
Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio here in Atlanta, Georgia, and you have heard it for yourself. Chicago and the Midwest, these people can make some noise. And I don't know if you could make out what I was saying on stage, but I was saying this is really, really loud. In fact, I kept walking from the front of the stage back away from the people because it was hurting my ears. It was so loud. And you're probably listening to that somewhere in the world thinking what I'm thinking, hearing it again right now, and that is, what in the world was going on? It sounds like there were 50,000 people there at Passion Chicago, and I know it was so loud, and that night it was 2,600 people making as much noise as I've ever heard a group of people make before, and so we may have started with Midwest Reserve, but we certainly ended with full throttle, full volume, full intensity, full passion celebration on Saturday night. And we're back now in Atlanta, a few days back here at the Passion House. And we are just so grateful for the chance to be with you guys in Chicago. What an incredible weekend. Two weekends back to back that just absolutely rocked to the core. And we're so glad to have been a part of it. We're just as happy as we were, Jonathan, coming back from Boston. In fact, we came back into the Passion House. I didn't get back from Chicago until late Monday, but coming in Tuesday, everybody was like fired up about what God had done. But I think everyone was tired. You know, it's been two crazy weekends back to back, one part of the country to the other. And it's quite a load for our team to pull that off. And once we got through with Boston and had flight delays for most of our team getting home on Sunday and getting back here and trying to fire things back up on Monday, we're like, wow, we're feeling it. But we are so happy and so glad that God has given us a chance to be a part of something like the last two weekends, to be in two arenas with students like you guys that are absolutely changing the world. And today we just want to talk a little bit about what happened in Chicago and catch everybody up. It was just, you know, phenomenal. If you weren't there, I just want you to be encouraged about what God's doing. Same as last week in Boston. You know, to come into that room, Jonathan, and look around and know that there are 300 universities and colleges represented. I mean, all kinds, too. I tried to list a lot of them during the event just to let people know that it's really crazy, the breadth of university life that is represented by the students in that room. But we listed a bunch of schools, and I know some of you were frustrated because I didn't name your school, but to get all the way through 300 schools would have taken us about a half a session and even longer than it took me to build up the Wells offering at the end of the night. So, but I did want to mention a couple more just to say, if you're out there listening, I tried this in the deal, by the way, and I would mention a school and there would be some applause, and I mentioned another one, it'd be nobody. And I'm like, wow, what happened? Maybe that person was shy or they didn't make it. I'm not really sure. But we gave some props to all the University of Wisconsin schools. There were a bunch of them from different places. And I'm just looking back down the list today, and there's so many schools from everywhere, like Indiana, for example. I mean, these are just the ones that start with Indiana, okay? It's Indiana State University. So I don't know if any of you guys are out there listening, but if you are, I'd like a shout out from you. There's Indiana University at Bloomington. That is the main campus from my own understanding of Indiana University and the place of great Bobby Knight lore from days gone by, which you probably don't want me to mention or care about now. Indiana University, Indianapolis, Indiana University, Kokomo, Indiana University, Northwest, Indiana University, South Bend, Indiana University, Southeast, and Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis, or IUPUI, or UIPUI. And then under that, Indiana Wesleyan University, and those are just the ones that start with Indiana. I'm looking down the list. I know there's like tons of other schools here from the state of Indiana, Notre Dame notwithstanding, and several others that I'm looking on my list. And so to all of you guys, that's what it's all about. And passion isn't exclusive to people on university campuses. And we had a lot of people in the building in Chicago that were in that 18 to 26 age range that are not currently enrolled, and we believe in this whole generation, so we're not excluding anyone, and I hope you always know that about passion. But it fires us up to look down and see this many campuses and this many colleges and universities represented, and to know that somebody's going back to each one of these schools this week. Maybe just one somebody or a group of somebodies are going back to every one of these universities, carrying in them the very life of Christ and carrying with them a sense of hope for what life can be and a sense of calling for that sense of God calling in their lives to go back and shine on the campuses that they came from. And that's pretty staggering. And then there's always the odd campus or two on here. There's Lee University, which I think I mentioned in one of the sessions, which I know is in Tennessee. And I'm like, that's pretty odd that Lee University is there. And then I'm looking down on here, and I'm seeing Furman University right in the middle. And I'm like, Furman University, we've got here the Fs for you, okay? There's Faith Baptist Bible College. There's Florida Christian College, which I know is nowhere near Chicago. I'm confident of that. There is Fontbonne University, which I have to admit was a new one to me, but we did a little research, and I think this is right in saying that it's a small Catholic school in St. Louis, Missouri. So awesome to have somebody representing Fontbonne University there. There's Franklin College on the list, and then Furman University. And I'm certain Furman University is in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm thinking, what in the world are there people from Furman University doing in Chicago? And turns out, some of our team meets these guys in the airport on the way home from Passion, and we find out a little bit of their story. They're baseball players for Furman, for the Purple Paladins. I'm pretty sure that's the mascot of a great fighting Furman University baseball team. And they come to Chicago because they know in April, when there is a regional here in Atlanta, which is a whole lot closer to them than Chicago, that they're going to be in the middle of baseball season and probably thinking ahead. They're going to be in the playoffs probably by then, or getting ready to be in the conference tournament, or, you know, going to the national tournament, who knows. And so they think, we've got to go to Chicago before the baseball season starts if we want to be a part of Passion. And I just want to say to you guys, that is incredible, and it encourages us more than you'll ever know. Turns out, a few pieces of this story, just to say, you know, way to go to the Purple Paladins that came to Chicago. These guys went online. They knew we were going to be meeting at the Sears Arena. Somehow they got that mixed up in their mind with the Sears Tower, which at one time was the tallest building in the world, I think. And so they start looking Sears Tower. Well, Sears Tower is downtown Chicago on the lake, and that's like about 30 miles from where we were out in the suburbs and Hoffman Estates at the Sears Arena. But they booked their hotel rooms down by the Sears Tower, thinking that maybe we're meeting at the Sears Tower, which would have really been cool. I don't know that we could have gotten 2,600 people in there, but it would have been really awesome. And so now they're staying 30 miles away. They have to get on a train, on a bus, on another bus in a cab just to get to the arena and back for every session. And I'm thinking, wow, that's commitment. And then lo and behold, they get on their plane to come home from one of the airports in Chicago. The plane takes off. I won't say what airline they were flying. But it was Delta Airlines, and they the one of the baggage doors on the plane opens, and I mean people's stuff is falling out of the airplane. There's like some luggage that's found literally several miles away from the airport. So they take off, the baggage door opens, some luggage starts falling out of the plane. The plane has to land, and they send these guys over to O'Hare Airport where our team is flying out, and those flights are all delayed because there's a huge mechanical issue on one of the flights. I think our group was flying Delta Airlines. And so the plane on our side is all messed up. So here are these guys showing up. We had luggage falling out of our last flight, and now we're over to the new airport, and we've commuted 30 miles back and forth to the event, and we came from South Carolina. And I'm thinking, man, guys, I hope it was worth it, and I hope God just absolutely did some stuff in your hearts that is going to last way longer than the baseball season this year. And even in that, I just pray that God will use you as lights on that team. I love it when we have athletes come and people from all parts of the campus community. And I just hope that you guys are seeing vision for what God can do in your lives in this year to come. And thanks for being a part of Passion. That's just really, really encouraging to us. And you just never know what God's doing. We got a note today that I think it's okay for me to read this on the podcast. It's an anonymous letter that came, but it just absolutely blew me away. And it's from Boston. It just showed up here. And here's what the letter says. It says, "Hi, I work security at your recent conference in Boston. I'd like to donate a portion of my pay from that day, so enclosed are two donations. One is valuable and one is not. You decide which is which! Exclamation point. Good luck in your ministry. Peace. Signed, Anonymous." And in this letter was a gift for $63 for Passion from somebody who was a security guard in the Aganis Arena, who wasn't part of our team, but who was just assigned to work that day, but so believed in what was going on that they took a portion of the pay that they made from that day and sent it to us just to encourage us to keep doing things like what we were doing in Boston. And what is on the back, the second part, if you're wondering what was the other offering, it's a little kind of, it's not a haiku. I don't even know what a haiku is. It's not a poem, and it's not really free verse, but it's kind of flowing letter slash poetry slash free verse. And the end of it just says, "To the men and women of Passion, bless them for doing things and works that may not be in fashion. Keep them strong to work in your holy name and change young lives that will never be the same. Thank you, Lord, for this work and this day and all the smiling faces that have come my way." And I'm just like, wow. You know, I mean, just think about it. Think about going to work at the Aganis Arena and seeing all kinds of events come there. I'm sure loving them. I'm sure being a big hockey fan, being into the stuff that goes on. But then one day, these 1,200 collegiate faces come through the door, and instead of them just blowing by you like you're the security guard and we're here for an event, so we don't even see you, you're invisible. But somehow they see this guy, and our team sees him, and people start speaking to him and asking him how he's doing and seeing if they can, you know, get him something to drink. Or I'm sure our team was always offering something, you know, just either friendship or just offering to make his day better. And him just being blown away by the fact that there is a God, and this God actually intersected him, not in church, but in the place where he works, and through a group of people that he saw something in that was really real. And that really inspires me, and it makes me so happy that it's not just university students that are getting changed by these events, but it trickles out to all kinds of people all across the world. So to you Midwesterners, man, way to go. We knew you could do it. I mean, I've been in the Midwest a lot, and you have to admit, and I know if you're from Iowa or Minnesota or Wisconsin or Michigan or Indiana or Ohio or Illinois, you're thinking, no, that's not really true. But deep down, you know what I'm about to say is true. And you guys are a little reserved. There's kind of this, you know, we've come out here to the Great Prairies, and we've, you know, pioneered America, and we've built our own homes with our hands, and we've farmed the land, and we've, you know, established this great Midwest over, you know, generations. And that's just kind of who we are. And As we started on Friday night, I thought, okay, these students are just slightly reserved, and you're thinking, slightly reserved, man, we were going nuts. And I'm like, well, you were going nuts, but, you know, it slightly reserved. And then just what happened in 24 hours just was beautiful, and where we ended up was so powerful. And I had several of you come up and tell me, I've never experienced anything like that before in my life. And we got a couple of emails, and you guys have been really great in just kind of coming back to us and encouraging us. So many comments on our guest book on 268generation.com, a lot of comments on Facebook that I've seen, and a lot of emails that we've gotten, and a bunch of you have come to sign the 268 Declaration on our website, which has been really, really encouraging. So from all of you guys, thank you so much. And we've got an interview that we did with Matt Redman, Christian Stanfill, Chris, and myself right after the event that we're going to get to in just a minute. But before we do that, I just want to read one of these comments that came through on our blog, and it came through from a student in Toledo, Ohio. And it just so captured, I think, what we wanted people to be walking away with after this event. And this student, she writes, "Well, Chicago, I must say that this weekend absolutely blew, all caps, blew my mind. I've never been to a Passion conference before, but I've attended other events like this. Passion was unlike any of those. I can truly, honestly say that there are so many things that I've already carried away that will permanently change the way I live, which in turn will affect those around me. It's 5:52 the day after Chicago Passion." I think that's 5:52 in the afternoon. "Our group got in at 6:30 this morning, and we all have yet to sleep, so forgive me if this turns slightly emotional." So that sounds like a fun night, right? We got home at 6:30 a.m., never really went to sleep good, and I've been doing stuff all day. "As I'm sitting here listening to the Boston podcast, Louis asked the students of Boston whether anyone there loves Jesus, and their response brings tears to my eyes. So to hear so many people so excited to be in Christ's love is a huge source of encouragement and serves as a reminder that there is nothing that is impossible for a surrendered generation. It's such a thrill coming from Chicago and experiencing that absolutely amazing love that was tangible in the crowd, listening to thousands of voices rising in volume to glorify and to pray to our God, to hear Boston's response, and to know that he is most certainly at work in our generation. Thank you so much, Boston, for praying for us. We're praying for you and for Sao Paulo, for the international cities on next year's tour, and for the rest of the students that will hit the U.S. Passion Tours." Incredible. And I just wanted you guys to know in Boston that I told the students in Chicago that you prayed for them, and that was really the last thing we did in our prayer triangles in Boston, was just pray forward to Chicago and say, "God, if you could just do any of what you've done here in Boston this weekend, in Chicago next weekend, it's going to be incredible." And so we prayed for you guys in Chicago, and I told them that. And then when we started the weekend in Chicago, Boston, we turned around and prayed back for you. And the first thing the students did once they got in their prayer triangles was to pray for you and to pray backwards towards Boston and say, "God, all the things that you were doing in people's hearts, all the things that you were stirring, all the seeds that were planted, just keep on doing that in their lives." And it was really, really cool. And the main thing we forgot to do, and I'm really bummed about this now that I'm thinking about it, is we forgot Chicago to pray for LA. That was the main thing. And we're going to pray for you before the podcast is over today. And I want all of you guys in Chicago and Boston and all over the world for that matter to begin praying. We got a couple of months before we get to Los Angeles, and we want to prepare the way. And I want, just like Boston prayed for Chicago, for Chicago to pray for Los Angeles, and we'll remember hopefully in LA to pray for Dallas, Dallas for DC, DC for Atlanta, Atlanta for Kiev, Kiev for Stockholm, Stockholm for Sao Paulo, Sao Paulo for Dubai. And we just want to have an unbroken chain of prayer that goes all the way around the world. So we've got this interview coming up, and after the interview, I'm going to come back and give you some amazing news on the Do Something Now campaign from Chicago. Incredible what these students did together to change the world in the 24 hours that we were there. But before that, here's the interview. This is Christian Stanfill, myself, Chris Tomlin, and Matt Redman, about 30 minutes after the event was over. And our hearts are full from what we've seen God do. We're really, really tired from carrying a lot of leadership for 24 straight hours, pretty much. And we've gotten in one of the dressing rooms underneath the Sears Arena, and Christian has absolutely just about ruined the thing before it even gets started good. So you'll figure all that out when we get rolling. But here's the interview from right after Passion Chicago, and I'll be back with some really encouraging Do Something Now news and a few things to finish up the podcast when we come back. Okay, so we're down under the Sears Center down here, and Christian has just stunk up the entire room. I kept thinking, what is that smell?
It smells like
I've been in here for several days now, and I'm like, I don't know what that smell is, and it's Christian who's gotten the deodorant.
Industrial.
You know those body deodorants?
Yeah.
So you can spray on your body. I've never smelled them until right now.
Man. What is this stuff called again?
It's called Phoenix.
Phoenix. So I recommend it highly. If you want to stink up like the entire room wherever you are, just get a shot of Phoenix, man. It is like making my eyes sting right now. So this is going to be a short
moment of solitude.
Yeah. This is going to be a short little interview tonight because my eyes are starting to water right now. No kidding. Thank you, Christian. That was awesome. Like, I don't know what you smelled like before, but wow. We're joking around, but man, it's partly because we're delirious because this has been a long weekend. Yeah. And it's two weekends in a row, but we just finished up Chicago and the place just blew up tonight, which was really, really incredible. I'm back here with Christian Stanfill, who was leading with us in the weekend, Mr. Phoenix himself, Matt Redman, who is with us back here, and we've been consoling Matt all day because of the Rugby World Cup final today when they went down to the Box Springs. And you'd have to be here to know what that's all about. Yes, we do know it's the Spring Box. But and then Chris is back here with us as well. And just want to get you guys' thoughts on the weekend. I mean, it was a really special time. You know, we came to the Midwest, and to be really, really honest, you know, people in the Midwest have a tendency to be a little more reserved than other people. And we start off the weekend, everybody's kind of just easing their way in. But I think by tonight, it didn't look like there was any reservation going on. In fact, you've already heard on the podcast the, yes, there are students who love Jesus. And I'm not kidding you, that was hurting my ears. That was one of the loudest sounds I've ever heard. And I was like trying to back up.
I was with you, man. Where had that been all weekend?
Yeah, well, there it came out tonight, and things just kept cranking up tonight, but man, just incredible stuff. And just want to get your take on it, Matt. You just joined us. You didn't make it to Boston, but so glad you were here in Chicago.
Not to the tea party. You don't want to go in there.
So you got an aversion to that. Yeah. Big loss for
the
English.
Don't ever invite me there. Yeah.
So you'd like to say to the people of New England,
tea is a good drink,
and taxes.
One day we'll be back.
Wow, I'd like to see that, man. You and a couple of your friends rowing a boat into Boston Harbor, man. That's gonna be a powerful sight, man. Anyway, but so good having you here in Chicago. And, man, you brought some new songs to the table, just what you bring in your heart every time you come and join us. Just really cool. And just wondering what you're feeling about the weekend and, you know, just what your thoughts are overall.
It's been a fantastic weekend. We were praying earlier, and one thing we prayed was, you know, that God's kingdom advance. You know, it's amazing. It advances every day. There's not really anything else that does that in life. You know, governments, administrations, people's careers. You know, you might have Apple shares. You know, in Apple, they've been going up and up, but there'll be a day when they come down. But the kingdom of God, day after day after day, advances and progresses. There's a momentum, and we saw signs of the kingdom breaking out. That's what I love about this time. Just we saw people coming to Christ and giving their lives to him. We saw people getting freed from stuff. We saw people getting empowered to go out and do stuff. We saw these college students here giving over $50,000 towards Sao Paulo in Brazil and towards the these kind of justice issues, building these wells. And to me, that's amazing. That's a sign of the kingdom coming. There's signs of the kingdom, and it all smells good to me. But
that's as good as that Phoenix.
Gosh, that's awesome, man. I don't know where that came from, but it's like, wow, that's powerful. And just to think about that thought that, man, there's never going to be a day in the history of all the days that God's kingdom didn't go forward. The church isn't being built up around the world, and we're just a little part of that tonight. And I feel like in these nights that we're just kind of getting these little glimpses of the massive momentum of the kingdom of God. And just seeing the potential of a room full of college students is pretty overwhelming. And, you know, you're not far from that, Christian, but I mean, just, you know, when you come into a weekend like this and you're thinking, all right, we're going to try to do these wells and going to try to, you know, put some money towards Sao Paulo, and people brought towels and socks like crazy here just as an expression of love for God and care for the people in this city that are in tough places in life. But it's pretty crazy when you see college students rise up and do great things. You know, it's not usually what people expect from them.
Yeah, no. I was at a college at one point, and I was friends with college students, lots of them, and nothing like that ever happened on our university, but we were never challenged for that. Mm-hmm. We never had anybody come in and say, hey, look, this is a world that's hurting. This is what this world needs. And, man, if you drop that challenge in front of college students, it's pretty evident from this weekend and from, you know, every other passion event I've been a part of, that if you drop that challenge in front of college students, they're going to take it up and they're going to go for it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty encouraging. It's pretty amazing, and gives you a lot of faith in that age group, I guess.
Yeah, it's really cool. We one of the things that I just love about these two weekends are these crosses, and they're not special. They're just plain old 2x4s, you know, put together, but just a place where people can go and, you know, have what, you know, what I'm starting to say is just like a meaningful transaction with God. You know, and I don't mean that in the sense of like a business deal. I mean in the sense that it's not just I came and there's a bunch of people in the arena, but I got to God. And, you know, like that lady in Scripture, I got my hand on him, you know. And when I did, something was exchanged from him to me. And to see these students coming down to these crosses and writing on these cards again this weekend. And, you know, our prayer team brought a few of them back just so I could see just a few from every session. I mean, the deepest hurts, the greatest struggles, the biggest mess ups you can ever imagine, the greatest doubts and fears and all kind of honesty in there. And then you have one come through as somebody just saying something like, powerful breakthrough, salvation came today. And we're like, man, that is so exciting. That's what today was all about. But I just think that little space, Chris, of just creating a little space where people can actually, you know, take a step, you know, or write something down or just kneel there and be in that moment, it changes things somehow, and it makes the whole thing a little bit different.
Yeah, passion, we make no apologies that we're a pretty loud bunch, mm-hmm. and pretty crazy, and we like that, and we like to anthem God really, really loud and turn the guitars up and sing and shout, but there's nothing louder than the stillness and silence of just being before God and hearing that voice, hearing God speak to you when you're just quiet. And you're saying you're responding to what God has done. And that's what I've noticed in these last two weekends with Boston and Chicago. Even I was interesting, you just turned to me on that, because I was saying the one thing I just took away this weekend is watching students come to the cross. And, I mean, they flooded the place. Mm-hmm. And when I was standing out there in just the audience watching students really being just broken down and responding to God, the cross. And what I loved about leading this weekend is, and most every time at Passion, but there was really, for me, specifically this weekend, I really sensed God leading me in special ways that was off the set list, mm-hmm. that was off the chart. Yeah. And that is when I sense that this is a special time and God's doing something really special right now. This isn't a set list. This isn't the next weekend where I already have the set designed and everything's going just the same way. It wasn't a jukebox. It wasn't plug in the quarter and listen to songs come out. I felt like God was really speaking to me about where I should lead people. And I felt like that with you as well on stage. And anytime you turned to me, it was like I was just right there. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love any time you just sense the people. And both times I sensed that were both around the cross, mm-hmm. and both bringing the songs and bringing our response to the cross of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And man, how powerful is that? Because at the end of the day, that's what it's, you know, that is our hope. That's the grace of God. That is what it's all about.
Yeah. You know, you cannot get too clever, and forget the cross, because people's lives aren't changed by our cleverness. They're not changed by the production that we can put in a building or, you know, some kind of program that we can fit together. That's not what changes people's lives. It's the cross. And that's what Paul said. You know, I'm going to boast in nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. And I just think it's that simplicity. And you guys all keep coming around that theme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all used to kid people before I knew Matt very well. It was like, if you ever preached a sermon on the cross, then Matt would have to decide which of his 75 songs he's written about the cross that he'd like to sing. And yeah. I remember Chris and I having a conversation a while back because I was challenged by a worship leader from another stream who really loved what we were doing. And he said, hey, tell your guys, keep writing songs about the cross. And I just said right back to him, hey, you'd be happy to know Chris has just done the wonderful cross, and Chris has just done this, and Crowder has done this song, and Charlie. I mean, it's always these songs coming out, but you can't get away from that. And I don't ever want to. And anybody that's not moved by that tonight, when we sing My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free, and somebody's not moved by that, I have to be honest. I'm looking at that person. I know you don't always see somebody's heart by their actions, and I'm not saying that. But if somebody isn't stirred by that, then you kind of have to wonder, you know, if they've really fully latched on to that truth in their life, mm-hmm. because it never gets old. It's never going to get old. It's actually the song of heaven is the song of the cross, and it is the Lamb that we're going to be exalting and celebrating there. And it's just, it's a powerful thing, and I want us always to be rooted there.
Absolutely. It is, the centrality of the cross is so important. I kind of grew up having that drummed into me, and I'm just so glad I did, because it's like you were preaching today also. We kind of get in some of these big themes of life and suffering, and is God in control? And you look at the cross, and you were saying, you know, you can find so many of the answers, really all the answers, at the cross.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Christian, you brought a new song for people here. I knew it from being around you, and some people may have heard it, but you brought a song, and it has that line in there about the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. and about the power of that, and that actually trickled down onto one of these cards that came through today.
Oh, cool.
What was going through your heart when you wrote that, and how are you seeing that landing on people?
Are you talking about the first line?
Yeah.
Your love, O Lord.
Yeah.
Displayed for us as crimson covered over sinless hands. Yeah, Ed Cash wrote that line. So let's call Ed up right now.
Oh my gosh. I take it back. You know, that was an okay line. Yeah, it was fair.
Ed, he wrote it though. Ed, when he wrote it, I was like, Ed, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm so glad you said that.
Ed Cash is, he's going to be a good songwriter, that guy, one of these days. I think he's going to actually do some great things, Chris, in the music world.
Yeah, I'll never forget when I'm sitting there singing How Great Is Our God, and I was like, I had it finished, and Ed picked up his guitar and goes, I think there's one, what about this? You're the name above all names. You are what? I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so if you don't know Ed Cash, you can go to edcash.com. And...
No, don't go there. It's bad.
Is it bad? Yeah. Is there really an edcash.com?
It is, and it's like 30 years old.
Oh, it's 30 years old. So if you're a hack into edcash.com and update it a little bit for him, apparently it needs to be an update. Anyway, that line, man, it was just powerful. And one of the cards that came through the prayer, somebody had just grabbed that line. We only did the song at that point. We'd only done it one time, but that line grabbed them, and it kind of stuck with them.
Yeah. I loved what you said. I think you said it earlier today. You said, you know, the cross isn't something we look back on, but it's something we hold on to every single day. Mm-hmm. And I think that I know stirred in me and resonated with me, and I know that throughout the whole room you could just sense that that was something that God wanted to deliver to so many hearts this weekend. And I think that's why that line just grabbed whoever that was, because it was like, yeah, your love, oh God, displayed for us as crimson covered over your son Jesus's sinless hands. Mm. And man, it's like to be able to embrace the cross like that, you know, is amazing. And that was sort of a theme that flowed through the whole weekend, you know, keep coming down to the cross, keep coming to that place of surrender where you're on your knees and being honest and true before our God, you know, and saying, this is what you're putting on my heart, and I'll lay it before you at the cross, you know.
Yeah.
It was a great theme for the weekend.
That's cool. That's cool. Man, I love getting to do this, and thank you guys, man. Chris, as your band played the whole weekend, and I mean, those guys are just, they're falling out right now. They were walking down to the dressing room, and they were just like, oh my gosh. You know, they played four sessions, and I mean, these sessions were like full throttle all the way through the weekend, and so that was incredible. And the leadership that you guys brought was amazing. And man, I just, it's going to be a couple months before we do this again in LA, but it's going to be really cool. And you and I are going to get the chance to be out on a tour in just a couple more weeks now. We're going to be starting out in Tucson, Arizona, and cruising around the West and through the central part. And
Tucson,
Arizona.
Was it?
Give us a little bit more of it.
Get back.
Hey, I must say, I did. I saw a real moving card. You're talking about the cards people handed across. There was one I read. It's some guy just pouring his heart out. He said, "You know, God, I need your help. You know, I'm the shortest one in my band. I can't sing a tune, and I sometimes wear a cowboy hat when I leave worship." And it, I don't know who it was. It just said CT Texas. I don't know who. I felt for the guy, and I'm definitely going to pray for him.
Thanks, Matt.
Wow. The card smelled like Phoenix.
Yeah. Phoenix. Man.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate that. That is amazing for you to do that.
But I feel sorry for him.
Let's just pray for him right now, man. Why don't you lead us in that? That would just be incredible. Yeah.
Well, as we all know, I'm talking about my good friend, Chris Tomlin. I always tell people, I've known Chris since he was this high. I've got my hand about 3 feet off the ground. And that was a year ago. Anyway, we won't start all that business again. But I bless you. No, we should pray. Chris, why don't you pray for Chris and you guys as you go out on tour? I mean, the real deal. I'm being serious now.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
Oh, gosh.
We pray for them as they go to Tucson, Arizona.
We have derailed.
Charlie is not here, but the podcast has gone off a track nonetheless. Fortunately, no one's taking their shirt off, but I'm not kidding you. This smell of that Phoenix stuff is getting to me right now, man. So we're going to have to break this up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I hope you guys listen to the podcast Get Us, because this is us. You know, it's all serious and it's all not serious all the time. It's all God and it's all enjoying life all the time. There doesn't have to be like two gears in life. One of them we're kind of goofing off and then the other one we're serious. Yeah. It's like, let's just go for God in all of life. And we love to laugh together. You know, we love to pray together. We love to worship God together. We love to encourage each other and we love to make fun of each other. And it mostly make fun of Matt, but it's really incredible, and it's a great team, and we're just excited to be here. You guys that were here with us, man, know that we're sitting in this building. You're in your cars on your way home right now, heading back to where you came from, and we do want to pray for you, and because Matt brought it up, I'm going to let him pray, and we're just going to pray over you guys. And Matt, can you get through it? Can you make it all right?
I can do it.
Yeah, there was a time, I don't think anyone knows this, Chris, but there was a night in... where Stanford is, Palo Alto, California. And we opened our tour night, Christian, you remember this, with Matt and Chris and I reading this kind of call to worship, and people thought it was on tape, but we read it live every night. In fact, I got the sheets that we used for 36 or 70 nights, however many nights we did that. I saw them in my office the other day, and they've been taped up every single night, you know, and I got those three sheets, and we'd start and do the whole thing, and we got to Palo Alto, California, and I don't know what happened, but the whole thing derailed, and in the middle of the thing, what happened? Where do we go
what
wrong?
Happened was we couldn't see the screen.
I remember now.
You couldn't, and I could. And
so you were peeking through the door.
And instead
I'm off time.
Finish, I interrupted
you.
And then I got
because Beth had said something to you about the fact that you interrupt people a lot. And so here you were. You're peeking through the door because we were out in the hallway behind the stage. And I'm a little behind the track, and so it comes Matt's time, and he just decides to go for it. So he just shouts right over me, and then he realizes what he's done, gets this look on his face, and he starts to laugh. And I start to laugh, and eventually, you're on the floor eventually. You're like, you've walked off. You're done. It's over for you. The opening's going, this video's going, music's playing, but there are no words coming out, and we're losing it. And people for the first time that night knew they did this live every single night, because, I mean, I tried to get it back, and I would be like, shout under, you know, and Chris, the pro that he is, somehow you pull it together at the end, and you actually got the last little bit of it out.
Pulling you guys together.
Yeah, you were pulling us
and
through.
And the best thing is, the next night.
This is what I wanted to say. This is awesome.
So the next night, we get there and Matt pulls out, he's got his mic and he pulls out tweezers.
He's got them in his pocket, a pair of tweezers.
We're like, what? What is that? And he goes, oh, you know, if I start laughing again, I just pinch myself really hard with these tweezers.
So his plan was, if I start laughing, I'm going to gouge myself in the leg with the tweezers and bring myself back to reality.
And so that made me laugh. Oh, I'm thinking about Redmond over there with tweezers. That was Salem, Oregon that night, and we barely made it through that night. And then fortunately, there's only one more night on that leg. It was Seattle, Washington, and I just remember the whole night going, I can't look at either one of them, and I can't think about anything. I just got to really lean in here, and we finally made it. But that was class. That was really class. So hopefully we can make it through this prayer. But I want you just to pray over these guys, Matt, as they're going out, and we're going to pray with you for them as they just head back where they're coming from.
Father, we pray that you would seal in these guys' hearts what you've done in this time. I know you've done so much. You've done some deep stuff, and you've done some life-changing things. And I pray you just protect what you've done. And even more than that, you let it grow, Lord. You let the seeds that you've put in this time, you let them grow, Lord, and you let something amazing explode out of people's hearts and lives. And I pray you surprise people in the next few days and weeks and months. Surprise them that they're walking in a new sense of power in you, a new sense of confidence and boldness, Lord, a new heart for the poor, a new big vision of what you're doing in the world. Lord, surprise them. Lord, may they wake up one day very soon and just be surprised at how in love with you they are and how on fire for your kingdom they are. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much.
And I say absolutely right on to that prayer. And that's our hope for all the people that were in Chicago and all the folks who are in the cities to come as well. Such a great honor walking with this team. And we love the laughter. We love the serious moments together. And just an incredible rendition of Get Back from Matt Redmond as well. So where else are you going to hear that but on the Passion Podcast? And we're happy to be the people who can bring that kind of content to you, and I'm sure that will be available on iTunes soon. But anyway, we are looking forward. We're heading to LA soon. In fact, I've got a lot of ground to cover before then, but the next regional event's going to be in Los Angeles at the end of January, and we really are excited about being there. It's our first official Passion event in California, and people in California have been asking us for years, literally, when are you going to come to California? Because as I've said jokingly and not so jokingly over the past few years, I'm not sure people in California know that there are 48 other states attached to them on the other side of the mountain range. But we know that there's sort of a West Coast mentality, so we're coming to land in Chicago. And by the way, just want you to know that our thoughts are definitely with all of you in the Southern California area this week as these fires are just going crazy. And I know that there are a lot of people who are in very difficult places, have lost their homes, have been evacuated from their homes. Many friends of ours that we've been talking to this week have been evacuated from their homes, and I'm actually headed to Los Angeles this weekend to speak, and don't even know if that's actually going to all, you know, play out or not, but it's big time difficulty out there, and you're in our thoughts and prayers, and we really are excited about being there in January and bringing Passion to Los Angeles, to the Nokia Live Theater downtown. There's a lot of room for a lot of students from the West Coast to come and join us there, and we're really hoping that the word's going to spread, that people are going to be talking to their friends, and we're going to see the registration start picking up a lot, because we've believed firmly that that's where we're supposed to be, and we're trusting that even though we haven't seen a lot of stirring from the LA Regional yet, that the word is getting around and that you guys do know we're coming, and there actually is going to be a pretty significant movement happen on the weekend that we're there. So we're looking forward to that. And just looking backwards really briefly to Chicago, if you didn't know it, if you turn your wristband from Chicago over, any of you guys that are still wearing them, it said Sao Paulo, Brazil underneath it. And we didn't mention that in Chicago, and we didn't mention in Boston that it says Kiev under yours. But the idea was that if you wanted to, you could just turn the wristband over when you left the event, and you could just be reminded to pray for Sao Paulo for the next however long you wanted to wear that wristband. Just a tangible reminder to say, Passion's going to the world. There are 132 million university students around the globe. I want to be a part of praying for God to do something significant, not just on my campus, but on the campuses of the world. And we've just released the cities that we're headed to, Lord willing, on our website. So if you want to go to 268generation.com, click on the World Tour. The dates are not up yet, and the venues are not there yet. This is the information everyone wants to know, but those will be there soon. But you can at least see the cities and the little time windows where we're going to be headed. And hopefully a lot of you can start making plans to join us somewhere around the world. One of the great things, Jonathan, about Passion in the last 7-8 months has been Do Something Now. And it absolutely changed the complete climate of Passion 07 in Atlanta. and it changed the climate in Boston, it changed the climate in Chicago. And the reason is because I think it puts worship and justice in the same context, in the same sentence, in the same breath. And when we do that, the definition of worship gets so full and God gets really, really happy. And so we've been thrilled. We've had three main focus. You guys all know that, or foci or focuses at each one of these deals. Towels and socks for those in transitional places of life. We wanted to dig wells for villages in Africa to provide clean water for life. And we've asked students if they will kind of give towards this Passion World Tour as a way of enabling us to say to the students around the world, these nights that we're bringing to you are a gift to you from the students of the world. And so we did a great thing in Boston, incredible start, massive generosity from 1,200 students there. And we rolled into Chicago and we said, okay, here's the thing. Boston has set the bar up for us. They did six wells. They gave $18,476 for six plus wells with our partner with Blood Water Mission. They brought 610 towels, 3,400 pairs of socks, and gave $15,334 for the Passion World Tour. And so we were able to roll into Chicago and say, you know, the stakes are up here. And it really did challenge us. But I want you to know we're not pitting city against city. That's not really the goal here. The goal isn't that Chicago would beat Boston and LA would beat Chicago and Atlanta would beat all of them. The goal is that we would be generous and that we would open our eyes to see the invisible people of the world, that we'd open our eyes to see the marginalized people and know that we are the people of God and we have the resources of the kingdom of God in our hands. And we want to be the first people to run to the broken and to the needy and to those who are suffering under injustice. And, you know, we can't change the whole world in one day, but we can change something all the time and any time that we come together. So we put the challenge out there. Chicago, all I can say is you rose up to the challenge. You came through the door with towels and socks, and someone on our team said, I didn't see anybody coming through the door, it looked like, the first night without their little Target bag or their Walmart bag or, you know, their towels in hand that they brought from home. And you ended up bringing 3,036 towels, which are going to be dispersed among six partner shelters in the Chicago area. And that's incredible. That's more than a towel per person. And 9,000 pairs of socks. And that is, man, that just makes me so happy. That is a big, big deal to somebody, to some little boy or little girl, to some mom or dad, who, or some man or some woman who are going to be able to put on a brand new pair of socks. And I know for most of us, we can't really get our heads around the joy that that can bring to a day and what great news that can be to somebody that's so far down in life that a new pair of socks is one of the greatest events of their day or their week. But thank you for the generosity in that. The offering for the World Tour, $24,892, just absolutely incredible. I mean, just thank you so much for believing and the mission that we feel like we're on together with you. And we will definitely roll into Sao Paulo, Brazil, and be able to say to them a very big part of this night was made possible for you by the students of the Midwest at Passion Chicago. And then for the wells, you know, we just went for it, and this is getting really exciting. And I drew out the story of this, and forgive me for that, but there was one student that kept yelling out, I want you to draw it out, I want you to build it up. And so I did, and I took way too long to do it, but forgive me for that, but I won't do that on the podcast. But we did a well, you know, we turned our first well blue. That means we have a tube in the lobby, says Chicago on it. We gave $3,000 to build a well. We turned the water in that tube blue. And then we did the tube for LA, and then we did the tube for Dallas, and then the tube for DC, and then the tube for Atlanta, and then back to last week's tube for Boston. And you guys ended up giving $32,612 to Blood Water Mission to build wells for people in Africa. That's six wells, yes, but more. It's 10 plus wells that you guys did. And so combined with Boston, we've done 17 wells together in two weekends, and it's just phenomenal. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for rising up to that challenge and for showing what your generation really can do. And I hope that that's put in your heart and minds a vision for what you can do and what we should be doing, because we can, and because God has given us so much, and we just want to be generous with what he's given us to the rest of the world. So here's the challenge for Los Angeles and for DC, Dallas, and Atlanta, and everywhere we're going forward. I just want you to know ahead of time, when you come through the door, we're going to be trying to raise money to build wells for African villages to bring clean water to an African village for life. It costs $3,000 to build a well. Probably takes 6 to 8 months to get that project up and going, to identify the well, to partner with the people. But sometime within 12 to 15 months from the time we gave the money, that well should be operational and lives should be being changed immediately as a result of it. And that's what we're setting out to do. And so when you come through the door in Los Angeles, you come through the door in Dallas and D.C. and Atlanta, know that we're doing that already. And so it's not just about how much cash do I have on me and how much money can I put into this offering, but what if one of you college groups from some campus comes through the door in L.A. and you already know we're going to be drilling wells, and so you think, wow, we've got 2 months now. We've got all of November, actually, all of December and a good part of January to figure out how to raise the $3,000. And so let's do that. Let's figure out how to raise $3,000 from our campus, from our classmates. I mean, people all over your campus want to get behind a project like this, not just believers, but all people want to make a difference in the world. So you raise this money, you come through the door in LA, he goes straight to the Do Something Now area, and some representative of your group drops a $3,000 check in the box and says, there's one well. We've already raised the money before we got here. And that way, instead of us going, hey, guys, we want to, you know, change the world together over the course of this weekend, let's give some money for these wells, we come through the door, and maybe it's not 6 wells or 10 wells, maybe it's 40 wells or 50 wells are done just by groups coming through the door and saying, we're prepared. We knew 4 months ago, 5 months ago, that we were coming towards this mission. And that is going to give us serious traction to get up, not in the dozens of wells for the world, but I would love to see us get well over 100 wells for the world, and to be able to really make a significant difference. I know that Bloodwater Mission has been able to bring online about 300 wells through all of 2006 and thus far in 2007. So to be able to really, you know, give them a massive momentum shift would be pretty incredible. And one of our guests, we had guests from Uganda, amazing folks from there. We had guests from South Africa and guests from Brazil and Chicago. And I remember as our team was leaving, one of them said, yeah, one of the pastors here from Uganda, as we were talking about doing the well, said, I need wells. I have 10 villages in my country where I'm working right now that don't have water. And all of a sudden, it's a real face. It's not just a story, but it's our friend who we've met and we've partnered with for Kampala, and we've invited to Chicago, and he's sitting there watching these students give this money, and he's going, I need wells. I know villages. I've got a lot of villages that don't have water. And for us, it's just really hard to fathom. Unless you've been there and you've seen it, it's hard to really get your head around just how great the need is. And so let's bring it up. And let's celebrate where Boston started us. Let's really celebrate what you guys in the Midwest have done. And then let's bring this up and let's really rise up together and do something that will absolutely show the world that our God is a great God. And we may be, you know, a battered and bruised generation in a lot of ways, but we've been restored and redeemed by God, and we are ready to be the generation that this girl from Toledo mentions, a surrendered generation that God can do anything through, because she says there is nothing that is impossible for a surrendered generation. And I believe she's right, and I want to be in that. I want to be in that story with you guys as well. So thank you so much, Chicago. We're going to remember our time in the Midwest for a long, long time, and we loved being with you. And even now, God, we just thank you for what you did over those few hours that we were together and how far you brought us, how deep you stirred in our hearts, how amazingly you were able to patch things back together in our hearts, to mend things that had been shattered apart and torn apart, to restore things, to wash over things, to speak truth, to ground our hearts in things that are real and not the lies that have been, you know, kind of pulling at us for all these weeks and months in the past. Thank you for the vision you brought. Thank you for the dozens of leaders that told us my vision for campus ministry has totally been solidified and breathed on and encouraged all over again in this weekend. And yeah, my students' lives were changed, but my life has been changed and my sense of calling for this generation, and I praise you for that, God, and thank you for these leaders and for speaking life into them and for putting encouragement in their hearts and dreams in their hearts for what can be. Thank you for uniting us so quickly and for just the explosion of gratitude out of these students' and leaders' lives to do something now to change the world. Thank you for your powerful grace over us. Thank you for the truth that frees us and for how it was freeing us in those days. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for salvation that I know for sure came to one of these students in Chicago, and I'm sure came to many more. Thank you for truth, for laughter, for the joy, just for the sense of being a part of a grand story. And we pray all of that, Lord, towards LA. And we just bind our hearts together today and say, Lord, prepare the way for the West Coast. Prepare the way for students to come from Utah and Nevada and from Arizona and from all over California and Oregon and Washington to unite there, Lord, to lift up Jesus over that city and over the West Coast. And we're just asking now that you would make way, you would make the way, Lord, for us, that you would prepare the way for us, and that you would begin to draw together this generation. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just say thank you. That's really what's in our hearts right now. We've asked you so many prayers. You know we've been on our knees in this house for these events. And we don't want to be people that always ask you and never thank you. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for your kindness and for just pouring out so many amazing things for us, in us, through us. And we just want you to know that all that was for you. This is all for you. And so we're saying thank you, and we cannot wait to see what you have for us in the future. And we trust you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been great being with you guys. I'm on the road this weekend to catch up with the David Crowder Band on the Remedy Tour, which I'm really excited about. And hopefully I'll have a little maybe live footage from Tulsa, Oklahoma with David Crowder as we get to talk about the night, and we'll have that in the next podcast, and headed out from there with Chris. We're going to be starting a few more dates of the How Great Is Our God tour next Tuesday in Tucson, Arizona, of all places, as you heard already, and then out to California, and then Salt Lake City, Denver, through the Midwest a little bit, and then ending up in the Southeast again. So we'll be on the road a bit. Hopefully we'll catch up with you somewhere on the journey, but if not, we'll find you back here on the Passion Podcast and look forward to catching up with you a little bit later on. Take care.